Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
Pastor Mosem and Selena, they founded Living Stones Ministries, and he's been a pastor for 35 years. They plant churches, they establish churches, they build schools, they minister the good news of Jesus in the slums and to just people that are far off from the Lord. And I wanna tell you today, they're precious, precious people. They've been in my home several times, and we've been in relationship. And now today, the first time, would you welcome to the Hope Church stage, Pastor Mosem. Come on.
Thank you so much for welcoming us, it is so wonderful and great to be here. And frankly speaking, I never ever imagined in my life that I will be able to preach here. And although when I came to visit this church for the first time, we entered from that side. Selena was with us. And our friend Nick used to work and help in the kitchen. And so Nick invited us. And I remember that we were sitting in the lobby and there was a prayer meeting going on. And we so enjoyed that meeting. And so we came in. We didn't know anybody except Nick. And I saw these pictures and ministries on the wall. And God spoke to me. And he said, Living Stones will be on the wall one day. I never knew anybody. I didn't know anybody here. So, and I, frankly speaking, I didn't know that it was surely that it was the Lord speaking. And and when a few months ago, Pastor Josh sent me an invitation that we want you to preach on Mission Sunday, I could not believe my eyes. And over and above, he said that we will pay for your airfares. And I felt so humbled because I do not feel myself to be that somebody will pay for my airfare to come and preach. And I placed a hand on my chest and I started looking around and I said, Lord, is it me? Is this for me? Really? And so this is a privilege for us to be here among you. And we can understand that persecution, wherever it is, it tries to stop us from preaching the gospel. But persecution can also become a blessing. It can also become a source of propagating our faith and reaching out and winning lives if we do not compromise with it. And so, basically, the enemy, he is threatening us with death. And actually, we need to understand that it is not death that he is threatening us with. Basically, it is life that he is threatening us with. See, and Jesus said, in Revelation chapter 2 to the church of Smyrna, that he said, be you faithful even until death, and I will give you the crown of life. So you see, death is not the end. Death is not the finish line. It is just the start line, basically, from where, from this point on, the life, the crown of life is given to us. And Jesus, when he talks about himself in this sort of speaking to the church of Smyrna, he introduces himself that he is the one who died and he rose and he lives forever. So when the church is obedient even until death, we are basically resembling with Jesus. So he said that death is not the end. Death is just the star of eternal life. So, and the amazing thing is that twice he said to the church in Smyrna, I know. And then he said, I know your affliction. I know your tribulation. I know all the accusations that are brought against you. So the amazing thing about persecution, about suffering for Jesus, is that God knows. And he is always with us. He knows. Have you ever realized that in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says that, he said that, you buy two sparrows with one penny. So with one penny, you buy two sparrows. But the same illustration is narrated in the Gospel of Luke also. And the Gospel of Luke says in chapter number 12, verse number 6 and 7, that with two pennies, you buy five sparrows. And he says that not one of them falls on the ground without your Father's will. Have you ever realized that with one penny, you buy two sparrows, but with two pennies, you buy five sparrows? So the fifth sparrow, he is not talking about the first or second or third or fourth sparrow. He's talking about the fifth sparrow. So when you spend two pennies, legally, according to law, you get four sparrows. But the fifth sparrow is the bonus one that you have not paid for. So the fifth sparrow is given to you free of cost. And whatever we get free of cost, when we lose it, when somebody steals it, we always say, oh, it's all right. It was a bonus. I didn't pay for it. It was on sale. I got it for free. Have you ever realized? He said, not one. He was talking about the fifth sparrow that you have not paid for, but that fifth sparrow that does not have any value to us has a value before God. He cares. He is talking about that fifth sparrow. That fifth sparrow is in the will and plan and purpose of God. So if it is his will, if it is his purpose, and if it is destined for that sparrow to fall on the ground, it is wonderful to live in his purpose and to know his purpose for our lives. When we live in Pakistan, people come to us and they see us, they tell us that your lives are on the line all the time. My own sort of family members, my siblings, my younger brother, he lives in Dubai, and my youngest brother, he lives in Finland. Selena's brothers, two brothers, they live in Switzerland. Her two brothers live in America, one in New York. Her sister lives in Denver. And do you know that we seldom visit them? And for years and years, I do not get chance to talk to my siblings. And the reason for that is that after 30 seconds, they come to the topic. So first they ask me how I am, and then they start telling me, oh, what are you doing in Pakistan? You have lost your mind. You are crazy. You have contacts everywhere. You have Pastor Josh in Missouri. So why don't you go and live in America? And so getting asylum in America or anywhere in Europe, I have 10 years sort of UK visa also. So getting asylum anywhere, you have the proof. You have the documents. So what are you doing in Pakistan? You have lost your mind. Take your children to a secure and safe place. And the only question that I have always in my mind is that, will that life be worth living if I lose the presence of God? Will that life be worth living if I'm not in the will of God. And I must tell you one thing. If you are living in the will of God, and if you are in the plan and purpose of God, it does not matter how short or how long you live. You are living your destiny. You see, 4th of July, 2 years ago, we were here in America. And so somebody took us to see these rockets, basically, this firework show. And so we were sitting in a big ground, and I was looking at these sort of rockets. And so they were climbing the heights, and then they were sort of exploding, and they were shedding the lights and colors. And I was completely mesmerized. I was so, we do not have these type of shows. We have other shows like suicide attacks and bombs and that sort of thing. I was so fascinated. And I so got involved in this. And somehow, somewhere, a photographer was sort of filming, was taking pictures. And so the next morning, I was surprised to see my photograph that one of my friends sort of passed to me. And so my photograph was taken, and it was in the newspapers. So looking at those sort of fireworks, I was so fascinated. I got involved in, and God said to me, he said, do you know what you like the most in it? I want to tell you one thing. That rocket has a lifespan of 30 seconds. But during those 30 seconds, it climbs the heights, it manifests the glory, and it shows the colors and brightness, and then it dies. Then it falls on the ground. It does not matter how long or how short you are live on this earth. What matters is that you are in the will and plan and purpose of God, and you are fulfilling your destiny, and you are climbing the heights, and you are glorifying the God of Bible, and then it does not matter if you are falling on the ground. No sparrow, that fifth sparrow, even that fifth sparrow that you do not have value, God has value of this sparrow in his eyes. Have we ever realized? We look at persecution as if some sort of injustice is done to us and the whole world is against us and we are persecuted, we are discriminated, and we are left on our own, and we are abandoned and we are forsaken, and nobody cares and this and that. So this is this poor me, pity me spirit. I want to tell you one thing. Read the Bible. Does the Bible teach us this? When the apostles, when the disciples were beaten in the synagogue, they left the synagogue rejoicing that at least for his name's sake, they were considered worthy to face persecution, to face all the beatings. When Paul, he asks church to pray. He was on house arrest in Italy, in Rome, and he had to be presented before Nero. And he does not say, pray for me, that God delivers me from the chains, from this house arrest, that I will be able to preach the gospel in the rest of the world. He says, pray for me in Ephesians 6. He says, pray for me that God gives me boldness, that God gives me courage to witness and to testify. So this is something that the church everywhere needs to take, needs to understand. The most beautiful psalm, Psalm number 23. We always talk about it. We always recite it. Everything is good in the first three verses. The Lord does this, the Lord does this, the Lord does this. A restoration, healing, all sorts of good things. But have we ever realized that verse number 4 is also part of Psalm 23? And the amazing thing is that verse number 4 is right in the middle. So the psalm is divided into two halves. And so verse number 4, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, because the reason for no fear is not that I'm smart enough, I'm educated enough, I have the ability, I'm a bodybuilder, and I've been to gym and this and that. No, the reason for no fear is because you are with me. You are with me. It does not matter if you live in America or you live in Pakistan. If God is with you, this is all that you need. And amazing thing is that the whole psalm is in third person singular. He does this, he does this, he restores my soul. And so when it comes to verse number 4, it says, because you are with me. It changes from third person singular to second person singular. So we need to realize that intimacy grows in the valley of shadow of death. Intimacy grows there. I read somewhere that mountaintops are good for views, but fruit is grown in the valleys. And we have been, every day when we leave our house, we do not know whether we will be able to come home safely or not. So every day, it is a final goodbye. We live in such uncertain times. So the church, everywhere, in the book of Hebrews, the writer says in chapter number 13, verse number 3, that look after for those, care for those who are in prison as if you are in prison with them. So everybody is not in prison, but there are those who are in prison, and those who are out of prison are being challenged, are being asked and invited, are being encouraged to feel that they are having fellowship with these people who are being persecuted and those who are in prison. I feel that this fellowship of suffering, fellowship of standing with each other, not giving up, not giving in, no matter what, is the spirit that God has given to the church. And we have neglected it. Most of the time we bypass it. Have we ever realized that martyr, the word martyr is derived from from Greek word marturia. So it means to testify. Marturia means to testify, to witness. So martyr is somebody who has testified, who has witnessed with his blood. By shedding his blood, he has testified what his beliefs were, what his faith was, and where he was standing. I was so amazed, and I was deeply grieved, and I could never, ever imagine that such thing will happen in America, that a person like Charlie Kirk will lay down his life for his faith, for his belief. This is more common in our part of the world, and we are more familiar with it. And by the way, dying is not difficult to my understanding. Dying is not difficult. Maybe 30 minutes pain and you are gone. But living for him is the challenge. To live for him is the challenge. So anyhow, this person, I salute him. Have you ever imagined that he had this heart and calling of Stephen? God gave him wisdom, and he was challenging everybody. and nobody could stand against him. Nobody could argue with him. Nobody could win him. And that challenge was open everywhere for everybody. Same things happened with Stephen. When they could not stand the knowledge and wisdom that Stephen had, so they used other means to silence him. And church, we all need to wake up. And the secret of our survival is not in our wealth, is not in our resources, how much or how little we have. The secret of survival is our depending on Jesus, depending and trusting in God no matter what happens. The church, during Stephen's time, have we realized? When I visualize it, I think it looks more like the church in America. Sorry to say this. I have attended many meetings, many prayer meetings in America. People are very sober. People offer educated prayers. People are very civilized. They think crying to God, shouting out to God, is a shameful thing. And we always tell each other not to lose control at all. Have we ever realized that we need to put our control in God's hands? And we need to surrender to Him. Anyhow, the church, during Stephen's time, all the enemies that were surrounding him, they were very violent. They were very vocal. They were gnashing their teeth and they were shouting at him and they were holding stones in their hands. Have we ever realized there was no hand there who could strengthen Stephen? There was nobody who could speak in his favor or who could face those people who were against him. The church was completely silent at that time. And Stephen got martyred. And now the church in America, you have a challenge in front of you that this thing that has happened will not be repeated again. I'm not asking you to be violent or to do riots or this and that, but I'm just asking you to be violent in your prayer rooms, to be violent when you intercede before God. Record all your agitation before God. And we have this story later in Acts chapter 12, when Peter was in prison. So next day, he had to appear before Herod, and Herod had already martyred James. And there was a bright chance that this night was the last night for Peter and he would die the next day. The amazing thing about Peter was that he was in the prison being guarded and chained. He was sleeping between two soldiers. And I wonder always that Peter had this amazing ability of doing right things in the wrong time and wrong things in the right time. Asking right questions at the wrong time and asking wrong questions at the right time. So mismatch everything. And you see, Peter was there sleeping. Have we ever realized what the church was doing? The church was praying for Peter, heart and soul. So what happened that they swapped their place with Peter? What Peter had to go through, the church was going through. And what the church had to go through, like sleeping in their comfy beds and central air conditioned on or central heating on and nobody should disturb us and this and that, and I have my schedule and I'm bound to it and I'm not against schedules at all. But there are urgencies. There are emergency calls. So the church, they left their own schedules aside. And the church responded to the call of duty. And now the church is praying heart and soul and crying out to God with every fiber, with their whole being, whatever they had in them, they were praying. And the word in Greek that is used for the church praying is eknethos. And the meaning of this word eknethos is when a muscle is stretched to its limits. So the church has learned the lesson when Stephen was martyred, and now the church is not ready to give up and not ready to give in. They cannot see, like Stephen, they cannot see now Peter dying. Because Peter has work to do. Peter has mission to accomplish. Now the church is praying and they have swapped their place with Peter. Peter is sleeping. And it reminds me of Hebrews 13, verse number 3. As if you are in prison with them. And God, He had to do something. An angel was sent and he struck Peter on the side. And I thank God for such clarity in the word. The angel struck on his side. On the side is bride, basically. And the bride is suffering. The church is praying. Church is not ready to give up. So, I always challenge my people in Pakistan. You see, here it is different. You go to the market and you get chicken. With us, we have broiler chicken. And so, these broilers are chicken are locked up. And so, when we go to the shop, so the shopkeeper, he sort of pushes his hand, opens the gate, and he grabs one broiler. So for 30 seconds or so, the other chickens standing around, they feel disturbed and they're moving and they're shouting. But after 30 seconds, once again, they are calm. So one by one, they're all dying. They're all losing their lives. So the challenge is not that Charlie Kirk has died. The challenge is what the church has learned. What the church has learned. Will we be just complacent and passive and waiting for somebody else who will offer his life, who will write the story with his blood, or the church will be praying to God and asking him to change the whole atmosphere. The church needs to engage in warfare. The church needs to respond to the call of duty. And we have assignment. We need to come out of our comfort zones. We need to come out of our safety zones. And we need to come out of our schedules. And we need to make it a routine. By the way, the church in Acts chapter 12 was not ready to receive the answer of their prayers. Because when Peter was released from the prison, they thought it was not Peter, but his angel when he turned up and he knocked at the door. And the church committee was sitting inside. They were all praying, but not ready to accept the answer of their prayers. And I want to tell you one thing. It does not matter whether you are ready to accept the supernatural. intervention of God or not. You are supposed to do what you can do. You are supposed to do what God has called us to do. And if He has called us to pour out our hearts before Him and to shout to Him and to cry out to Him and to be stretched to our limits, this is what we are supposed to do. And we need to be obedient to God. So I believe that the church in America is being shaken. And on his memorial service, I was up whole night. I watched everything. And I was crying literally. I could never ever imagine that the whole cabinet will come one by one on the pulpit. Each one of them shared, and I felt they are all ministers, they are all pastors, they are all called by God, and they are appointed, and they have depth in their walk with the Lord. I'm not a politician, and I'm not here to propagate anybody's agenda, but this is what I experienced. I could never ever imagine that the whole cabinet would be so strong, rooted and grounded in their faith, in their walk with the Lord. So, and then that bulletproof screen was brought in front. And then God said to me, the church has a duty to pray for the protection of these people who have the heart, who have the soul to serve the Lord. So we need to remain faithful to our calling, and we need to pour out our hearts before God no matter what. And I believe that in these high offices, their security is not standing behind the shields, standing behind the bulletproof sort of screens. Their security is in your hands. Their security and safety is in our hands, that we need to pray. And we are all selfish. We are all selfish. The reason I want to see America strong in its faith is because our existence as Christians in Pakistan depend on the strength of the church here. So if the church is strong here, then we have a reason to exist in that part of the world. And I always say that if something, God forbid, happens to the church here, you will see all these Christians living in small pockets all around the world in these sort of dark places. They will be finished. They will be wiped off. So, persecution is honor. Persecution is a trophy. Persecution is a medal for us. And we don't need to run from it and use it. The persecution is used against us. And if we are strong in the Lord and we know the will of God, we know how to turn it around. And the church has never ever progressed in the times of freedom. The church everywhere has progressed, has grown during the time of persecution, because the church everywhere in history knew this revelation, had this revelation, how to turn around the weapon that has formed against it. God bless you. God be with you. Thank you so much. Let us all pray. Can we all stand and pray together? Lord, we cry out to you, Jesus. You are our rock. You are our shield. You are our refuge, Jesus. Lord, we are alive not because we are smart or we have something. We are alive to this day because you are with us, Lord. And Lord, we do not know our future, but we know you, who is holding our future in your hands. So Lord, I pray, whether we live or die, we belong to you and we remain faithful to you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you awaken us, your bride, your church, east or west, wherever, Lord. Help us to remember that when we are stretched to our limits, Lord, that is the time for us to see the marvelous glory of our Lord. When we are stretched to our limits, Lord, this is time for us to see the supernatural becoming natural in our lives, Lord. Give us hearts, Lord. Give us mind, Lord. Give us eyes to see that. Bless each one of us, Lord. And Lord, I pray for my fellow believers, for my brothers and sisters, Lord. That they will value each and everything that they have that is related to their body, soul, and spirit. And Lord, everything that you have blessed them with, that with every fiber of their being, with their body, soul, and spirit, that they will serve you, that they will know you, that they will live in you, that they will walk in you, that they will breathe in you, Jesus. Bless us, Lord. Bless us, Jesus. And help us to remain faithful. Help us to remain obedient, just like Jesus, that he remained obedient even until death. Yes, Lord. Help us to understand the secret of obedience. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I ask you to bless this whole church. Bless the team. Bless my brothers and sisters. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.